What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Sound Money Podcast. I am your host, Steve McGarry, and today we are going to be talking about I'll call it a controversial subject off the bat, but many people have asked me about this one. And this one is your job at risk of automation, and which jobs are safe? And this is something that has been brought up a lot recently, just given that candidates like Andrew Yang in politics, people that are running for president are talking about AI and robots and job automation and things like that. So I wanted to actually dive into some of these numbers here. Now, a very kind of benchmark study came out by McKinsey in 2018, I think in like March or April or something like that. And it said that effectively, one out of three people in the United States, their jobs will be, affected in a big way, whether it's like pieces of their job, tasks, or their entire job will be given to robots by 2030. So that is in 10 years. And they're saying that that is a vast majority of the population, about 100 million people. If I don't know what the actual number is of the amount of people that will be directly affected by it in 2030, because they keep it kind of open-ended, but they give some examples. And this is not the report that I'm looking at right now. I'm actually going to be going through what jobs are safe and which ones are going to be automated almost with a guarantee. And it's important to preface this with that when we're talking about jobs here, we're talking about especially the ones at risk that are right in the crosshairs of being automated. You're referring to jobs that have mundane, very repetitive tasks and things that, you know, maybe immediately when you see it, you can tell like, okay, this person is definitely in the harm's way, I guess you could say, for automation. And whether or not it's fair, whether or not it's something that you feel is inevitable, it is something that is coming. And it's important to just acknowledge that, accept it, because we as humans are going to keep progressing with innovation. And we're not stopping anytime soon. Never have, never will. We're just going to keep moving forward. So the first job is construction. Now, if you know anybody in construction, this isn't a shot at their job or anything like that, but there are a lot of things that I have personally seen that are coming out. And one of the most predominant ones are 3D printed houses. Now, 3D printed houses are effectively like a CAD file where you design a house and upload it onto what is a massive, 15-foot crane type structure that is a 3D printer, and it goes around and prints a house in a rapid pace, pouring concrete, and that replaces, I believe it's like 20 jobs for every one of those machines, and it can print a house, I believe, in a day or 2 days. So that type of piece is very, very dangerous in terms of the physical labor, the equipment operation, the demolition, basic installation, and repair. You're running into a lot of things with 3D printing that could definitely disrupt a lot of jobs right there, because a robot comes in, and that is a robot, just one big arm that prints a house. You have other robots that can go in and get the job done in terms of fixing it if they know the exact file and all that. That one's pretty crystal clear in terms of the disruption that's already taking place. And, with roadways, we see a lot of robots on the road. We see a lot of just basic city infrastructures that you can already tell have these robotic arms that are helping out in buildings and building out new offices and whatnot. The next one is food service. Now, this one is with fast food, particularly. This one is definitely a touchy subject because so many people in the United States work in food service. And this one is something I've seen on the internet with burgers, for example. At McDonald's, they had like a burger that flipped burgers, and I want to say that there was this bit on CNBC a year ago, and it was about this robot that came in, and it was just like this little arm that flipped burgers when it had the timing exactly perfected to it, but it malfunctioned because so many orders were coming in that it just went haywire and started throwing them all over the place. So that was a prime example of the fact that it can do a mundane task, but it's early days. And it is already happening, you know, with what we've seen at various fast food restaurants. You know, you can go and order a pizza from a vending machine now where it just cooks the entire thing in there. We've seen a lot of robotics happening around the pizza space because it is a very basic, you know, layered operation, very similar to like a burger. But it will be interesting to see what big players like McDonald's do in this space, Burger King, and you know, Carl's Jr. and some of the biggest chains out there. It'll be really interesting to see what they're going to do with this, because fine dining is, you know, definitely going to be something that is human oriented. That's one of those on the safer side of things, like chefs, luxury chefs, people that are making an experience for you. That is not at immediate risk. And, you know, I think that in terms of management positions, you're going to have people in there with supervisor skills and being able to manage, even if it's five robots and then some waiters and things like that, that are actually moving the food back and forth at the beginning days. And it's important to think about the fact that we want to be able to complement what's going on here. We don't want to just have it sweep through and have an entirely automated restaurant. There was a restaurant in San Francisco when I lived there called, what was it, Itza. And I went there a few times, and the idea was that you walk up, you place your order from a kiosk, and then it would automatically make the food in the background. And it would come up, and like a little flap would open, your light would blink with your number, and it was an app. So literally when you ordered it, it would send you a text with your number, and then the light would blink on this. It looked like a wall of microwaves, and everybody was standing there, and then your food would show up in one of these random microwaves. It would blink your number, you'd check your number and go up, enter in a code that it texted you, and once you pressed that code in, it would unlock and feed you, feed out the food that you'd ordered. And I saw a lot of people testing the system. They were trying to like add a bunch of like custom things, and it got it right every single time I saw it. But I'm pretty sure that they had to shut down a few of their locations because people thought that the food, I think, was just bland, and they could definitely have done a better job. There was also another one in San Francisco that I went to around the food space, which was a coffee shop, and it was a automated arm that went around. It was called Cafe X, and I went there a couple of times, and they took regular local coffee beans, and this arm would, you'd enter it in on a kiosk. Once again, you get a text, and you would go in and be able to pick up your coffee after that robotic arm went around, poured, made a perfect latte, you know, Americano, whatever it is, and then it would put it out into a little dispenser and you would take it. So it was, not only could you get your coffee automated, but you could get your food at Itza automated. So Cafe X and Itza are two great examples of a fully automated fast food restaurant. And it was relatively good. I thought it definitely needed some work, and it was just basic repetitive tasks. I always like barista, talking to them, talking to people. I think that restaurants, like fast food restaurants, are a little bit different. You don't really talk to people that are working at, you know, the cash register at McDonald's. It's small talk, but like at a coffee shop, you're usually back and forth with a barista and asking questions and stuff like that. So a little different. Manufacturing. Robots have a presence in manufacturing for decades. Obviously, the Industrial Revolution was a huge one where humans were working together along with these massive machines, and they were very, very good at fabrication, machines, and just repetitive, predictable tasks that we're talking about here, guys. And the reason that we talk about AI in the future is because we are all connected digitally, and AI is something that is digital. And when it's going on to the internet and our machines and things like that, back in the day, it was just big machines that humans were helping with operating, and now it is basically we're replacing replacing ourselves in order to operate these pieces of technology on the computer. So it's like we're replacing the human element on the machine that is the computer that we created, and it's just this meta level replacement that we're doing. And manufacturing, I think that is, Amazon's a great example of that. I've seen it when I worked for a logistics company out of college. I saw Home Depot, Walmart, Family Dollar, a lot of these big distribution centers. I saw the way that they operated, and it was very, very heavily reliant on robotics. It was safety for humans because humans didn't want to get crushed by things. And these robots were just moving around all over the place. It was pretty cool to watch, actually, especially the Walmart distribution center. It was like another planet. And I've never been into an Amazon warehouse. I don't know what it looks like, but I have heard it is pretty incredible, the level of automation that's taking place there with robots. The next one, office administration. This one has been around for a while. You have your bots that can schedule appointments for you, take notes. You have just a lot of things like entering data, phone calls, generating reports. There's a lot of things administratively that you need in your day-to-day job that will definitely be outsourced, definitely. And I think that there are some tasks that office administration, a human would benefit from. Like, you know, you need some social interaction throughout the day, and office admins are really, really great about keeping, not only keeping you on schedule, but, you know, with when they're booking an appointment, they can have something about the person, talking about your experiences in the past with that person, personalizing that meeting, making it more of a quality meeting, because it is a human meeting that you're meeting with. We're not yet meeting with AIs and other machines, but it could be something that happens in the past. So like secretaries, paralegals to office managers and things like that. And this could definitely be a hefty space for disruption. And the last one is retail. This is a massive, massive one. I know many people that work in retail, and I think Amazon is the best one that I've seen that is disrupting the most in this space. An average retail store for Amazon, one of the ones where it's a cashless experience, where you go in, you put your stuff in a bag and walk out, and it pays for those items automatically through Amazon. That takes $11 million. If you guys didn't know that, every one of their stores takes 11 mil, and they actually take the profit from AWS or Amazon Web Services to pay for that, to subsidize that cost, because Amazon Web Services is so profitable. But 11 million to launch one of these stores is a huge undertaking at the cost of everything right now, and that's only going to go down because Amazon's innovating so quickly. That price is going to go down to the point where it's going to really disrupt in the next 10 years as that price goes down by 80%. You know, $1 million to start a business like that is really, really pushing against what is realistic, even in terms of starting a regular retail business right now or 5 years ago. So we are seeing a lot of disruption in this space, like delivery services, and, you know, anything involving underwriting, bank tellers, insurance companies. It's just, there's a lot of basic tasks here. And another one that I wanted to bring up is I met a company in San Francisco that was doing a robot that went down the aisles of every store and scanned the items. Now, I remember at my first job ever at a pet store when I was like 16, they had people come in from, I believe it was a company called Regis, and they would come in and they would manually count every item in the inventory, in the whole building. They would go through with these yellow little tabs, and they would count every item in every row and stock the shelves and count them, put the item that they had counted in with this yellow slab, and they'd slab it in there, and go through and calculate everything at the end. Now, that was obviously, you know, in the 90s, and it wasn't something that was scalable at all in terms of what we're looking at right now. But when I saw that this little machine went down the middle of the aisle and scanned on both sides all of the items and then calculated the amounts that were there, that was a big aha moment for me. I was like, wow, this is where we're at right now. We are at the point where we're checking inventory, we're stocking shelves, we're cleaning aisles. Robots are actively in supermarkets. And, you know, in Vegas, when I was there last, they had butlers that were going around that were little robots. And they would go to your room, they would deliver food to your room. There's just an overwhelming amount of disruption happening in retail. And that is a very susceptible space to being disrupted relatively quickly with robots, and is already in the already in motion. Now, for the final bit here that everybody's been waiting for, which jobs are safe from automation? Now, computers can't automate all jobs, especially as long as humans still exist on the planet. Computers can't have empathy yet. You know, they can't express empathy, and whether or not we can even acknowledge a computer expressing empathy and interacting with humans in a way that another human can interact is just not replicable to a computer yet. So there are a few that are safe. Now, I'm biased because my wife is a nurse, and I think that caring for humans is not going to be automated in my lifetime, or if you're watching this at the time of recording this in 2019 and 2020, you're probably not going to see these types of human services really be automated away that quickly. Nurses, psychologists, teachers, social workers, those are generally safe from automation right now, because as a human, it is very, very difficult for if a business were to shift automatically to all of its psychologists being robots, nobody that I know would be comfortable going to that yet. And, you know, nurses, teachers, no one really wants to go into a classroom and be taught by a robot, even online being taught by a robot. Everybody wants to have a human-to-human interaction, and it's much more valuable for humans. So as long as we are somewhat controlling the wealth in the future, we will have a say as consumers into what we value, and robots got a long way to go to replace that human-to-human interaction, expressing empathy, being able to connect with another human and have a conversation. Now, any position that requires some management and jobs that require creativity are generally safe as well. So like your writers, your artists, your graphic designers, your podcasters, your YouTubers, your people that are connecting with an audience and other humans through creative means. I've said in the past with unequal distribution that as long as creativity is involved, there will always be unequal distribution. That is very much the case. If a robot started a YouTube channel and started generating content, you know, the jury's out on what we would appreciate from that, if we would like it, if we wouldn't. We haven't seen it yet, but I do think that it's a as long as humans are supervising other humans, and we need that, we need emotional intelligence for that, and as long as creativity exists, those jobs of managing humans and as well as managing robots and humans together, managers are relatively safe. And your creative jobs like writers, artists, designers, things like that are going to be very safe from this. And it is unpredictable. So that's kind of my overview. I wanted to just end it with saying these are unpredictable. We are in uncharted waters here. People are getting their jobs automated that they did not think would be automated. And I think that as long as we are actively having a conversation about this, I think that there's a lot of unpredictability in this space, that some startup could happen tomorrow in the Valley, and all of a sudden we have a million jobs disrupted by a piece of software, a line of code, and whatnot. So it is an unpredictable game that we're playing, and it is important to pick up new skills, practice adaptability, get used to this type of disruption, get used to change, get comfortable with it, you know, just be comfortable to adapt. And the Marines and the military have a saying that says adapt or die. And if you're flexible and you're adaptable and you're willing to change and take on new tasks, you are going to be unstoppable. You can do anything if you do that. If you are willing to learn, if you want to take some training classes, go onto YouTube, learn some new skills, learn some basic skills that involve creativity that you can leverage in the future, management skills, problem-solving abilities. Highlight those skills for you so that you're an invaluable member of a team. No one's going to be actively trying to replace you, and making yourself more valuable through getting alternative skills and creative focus skills. And this is something that actually Naval Ravikant has talked about on the Joe Rogan podcast that I really enjoy. And he mentions that creative people are going to be the future. They are very much going to be influential to other humans. And it's very important for people to emphasize the fact that creativity is a superpower, and that's what differentiates you from the robots right now. And with the rise of automation, it's important to also mention that this is going to trigger more job opportunities. There are going to be much more jobs available, and getting a career alongside of robots is something that you need to be comfortable with. Everyone's comfortable with. I would have no problem with working alongside of a robot if it was doing a task that helped augment what I'm doing, helped improve my output. I would be more than happy to do that. And I think the McKinsey report, the closing statement here, the McKinsey report stated that you know, most jobs will not be lost to robots. So many tasks will change. So don't panic. Don't freak out about it, guys. It's not the end of the world here. It's just we're seeing something, a shift happen in work. And it's very important. I've mentioned in the past that things to augment humans that are being disrupted is important. Things like a UBI, things like, you know, more supportive systems in place for people that are losing their jobs. And this is something that Andrew Yang and some other candidates have mentioned in the past. And I am a firm believer that we do need to help set up a safety net for when this massive disruption really starts picking up momentum, because it is already happening, but it needs a little bit more protection for our fellow humans that are going to get disrupted. And this is not just the US, this is a worldwide phenomenon. This is happening whether we like it or not. There's no stopping it. It's important to just be adaptable, get some skills, practice your ability to adapt, and don't get scared. Don't quit your job. Don't stop what you're doing. Just upskill yourself, stay sharp, emphasize and lean into your creativity, and try to enjoy it. This is going to be fun to watch for many people. Many people are going to really resist change, and they're not going to want to change their day-to-day operations, and they're not going to want to adapt, and that's just human nature. Many people aren't going to want to go back to school. Many people aren't going to want to join the robots that took over jobs. That's just how it's going to play out. So the best thing to do is be adaptable and be like water, as Bruce Lee said. Just if the water's round, if the cup is round, be round. If the vase is S-shaped, form into an S. If the water falls onto the ground and is flat, be flat. And he always says it best, Bruce Lee there. So that is it for this episode of the Sound Money Podcast. If you guys like it, hit the subscribe button on YouTube and Spotify and iTunes, wherever you're listening and consuming this podcast. I appreciate all of the amazing support for the recent course that I dropped. That was awesome. You guys are great. And I will see you guys on the next episode of the Sound Money Podcast. And if you guys are out there struggling with thinking about your job getting replaced, don't fear. Things are going to be fine. Just stick to learning new skills and be adaptable. And that is it for this episode. I will see you guys on the next episode of the Sound Money Podcast.
Bye.